Now we return you to your host.
All right, and welcome back to the Liberty Brothers Radio Show. Today's Tuesday, June 23rd. We're coming to you live out of the great state of Montana. All right, well, we're back with John Jacob Schmidt of Radio Free Redoubt. And we were kind of talking before the break. You were going to look up a link, I think, John. And we were talking about the influx of people moving into the Redoubt area and just how things are growing exponentially.
Yeah. The article actually is at justice.gov. So this is an official statement, you could say. And in this, they're talking about, well, Lambda Legal's visionary activists and unstoppable advocates have made a mark so deep, so transformative, and so permanent that no account of movement and no history of this nation can be written without reference to your enduring contributions to the meaning of full and equal citizenship. It's all about equality. There's perhaps no greater measure of the extraordinary progress you've brought to fruition than the fact that less than 30 years after this country cast LGBT individuals as both separate and unequal in Bowers versus Hardwick, you now have the enthusiastic partnership of the Department of Justice and the full and unwavering support of the President of the United States. President Obama and I are both passionate about this cause and deeply devoted to this mission, and this administration is committed to invigorating the values of equality and opportunity that you have long demanded for all Americans.
But how does that equal equality when they're giving them supposed extra rights?
Exactly. Exactly. This is about forced acceptance of, well, of deviant lifestyle. This, you know, all through history, it's like, right, it seems like the final nail in the coffin of a culture is the rapid advancement of homosexuality as a movement. As when it becomes public policy, you're at the end. Isn't that strange?
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things. It's one of those things where, you know, I disagree with it. I think it's wrong. However, if the consenting adults, I mean, I have enough, you know, they can do what they want. Frankly, I'm not their judge. That's not my job. They have their free will to do what they want to do. That bothers me is the forcing it upon people, forcing your children to learn about it in school. I mean, what in California, didn't they teach a program and they didn't even tell the parents they were doing it? And the judge said, no, the school has control of your kids, your children when you're not at your house. So you can't do a darn thing about it. They can teach them whatever they want. They don't have to tell you anything. You know, that's what bothers
me. Kids dress cross dressing, like having boys dress up in a dress.
Yeah.
Why? Sixth graders.
You know,
well, here's the thing, Jim. You can't have both. You're right. What they do in their bedroom is between them and God. Hey, and that goes for everybody who's dealing with some type of sin. I don't care if you're a kleptomaniac, if you're addicted to pornography, if you're, you know, if you're a thief, if, you know, whatever it is. But here's the thing. When it starts to encroach on other people, then you got a problem. You're not just saying, hey, it doesn't matter what two people, if they're consenting adults, what they do. Two consenting adults walk into a bank and rob it, then you've got problems, right? Because they're encroaching on other people's rights. And remember what this nation was founded on. This is an exceptional nation. There's nothing else like it. And one of the things that makes it so exceptional is our religious liberty. And our religious liberty allows you to be free from being forced to do something that violates your moral conscience based on God's law. That's religious liberty is what this nation was founded on. That was the pinnacle of all the grievances that were articulated by the founding fathers. There were other injustices and stuff too. But they don't just keep it in the bedroom and just between them. It never works out that way in history. It always encroaches into the – I remember in the 90s, I was listening to some talk radio show. He's a liberal, and he was saying, you people are all, you know, if you don't like what's on – somebody was talking about what was on TV, you know, this showed a homosexual couple on TV, and folks were – they were discussing that. The guy says, look, if you don't like it, turn the channel. You know, you don't have to watch it. But – so basically – you're allowing it by not pushing back against it, you know, allowing that to be shown to the public. They inject it into a continuous state of shocking the public, because pretty soon you can't just not watch that show, because they surprise you with a commercial. You know, absolutely. When you're watching Little House on the Prairie, and all of a sudden this commercial comes on saying, tune in later at 7, and then there's two guys, you know, kiss tongue in each other, and you have no choice but to sit there watching something wholesome and pure with your family, or your children are watching, and then that's just thrust in front of you. Next thing you know, they're teaching it in schools, and you have no say, and they're booting parents out of the schools because they're objecting to their children being exposed to Islam or homosexuality. Well, or
John, how about that teacher that took those children to the sex shop? And they're like 8 or 9 years old, and they took them to the sex shop. And, you know, I don't know. I used to have a friend that owned one, actually, that worked at one long, long time ago, many years ago. And if you've ever walked through one of those places, even the tame ones, even like the national chains, and there are some out there, the hardcore ones, man, you don't want – you know, you don't want your 18-year-old walking through those places for crime. I mean, that's some hardcore stuff in there. For having an 8 or 9-year-old walk through that place, that's just preposterous. I couldn't even get over that.
You got to wonder if there's a link between – we see in my – especially South Carolina and southern states, there's this huge rampant uptick of these female teachers having sexual relations with the students. And they're married, yeah, and they have families, and, you know, seem to have their lives together. And yet, just time after time after time, you got to wonder if it's part of this, you know, sexual, the perpetration of the sexual education classes they're doing, if it's not a direct result of that.
Well, the whole it's just spiritual warfare at every level, from every angle, every facet of our culture now. It's just permeated with it. And it's just so subtly just snuck in, infiltrated into our culture.
The Netflix has their own, you know, genre now of gay, bisexual, LGBT movies. That's right up there with everything else. And it's not like, you know, I can set up a profile on my kid and it doesn't show up there. I guess I could probably lock everything down but the kid stuff. But, you know, then you got to explain to your kids why they can't be in that particular, you know, genre, right, looking at movies.
Right. And now it's because this has permeated so much of our culture, it's given the air of normalcy. It's not normal. It's unnatural. It's unnormal, and it's, you know, sick and perverted and wrong. But what they've done is they've created the environment that gives this the impression that it is normal and natural, and some people do it and some people don't. Now they've got what's the latest commercial that I just saw? An insurance company or bank or so, I can't remember what it was, you know, introducing, you know, families, different families. What commercial was that? Anyway, it was basically, we serve America's families. And so, you know, the whole thing was showing all these different types of families, two guys with a baby girl and
Let me ask you this. You know, I'm all for religious liberty. I think that's part of what made this country great. I think people should have the choice to follow whatever path they want, if that's what they so choose, and they actually look into it and know what they're getting themselves into. Again, with consenting adults, I'm very libertarian in my views in that, yeah, I don't agree with it personally. It's not a lifestyle that I want or would choose, but... you know, again, it's not for me to say one way or the other. I figure that's up to God.
Right.
But at the same time, it seems when you give some of these groups an inch, they just take a full mile. you know, especially with the radical Islam folks, you know, trying to put Sharia law in, and we're talking about these refugees, these clusters of refugees coming in and taking over communities. So, I mean, where do you draw that line? Obviously, we know if they get a foothold, it's going to blow up. They're gonna push it as far as they possibly can. But at the same time, I don't want to be, you know, an intolerant dictatorship in the other direction, saying, well, you can't do this, you can't do that. Where do you find that balance, I guess, when it starts infringing on other people's liberties? But, you know, again, how do we find that balance? How do we keep it?
Well, the fact that we're even asking that type of a question tells us how far we are from God's word. Where does liberty come from? What gives us liberty?
True.
Just because we want it?
God.
It comes from God. Now, so if you're going to accredit that liberty from God, if otherwise it has to come from government, or it just becomes from, you know, whoever has the biggest guns, right? Says I'm free and nobody can tell me what to do. Okay, but somebody else comes along, tries to convince you that you really don't have the liberties that you wanted because you actually have to do what we say now. You cannot appeal to any higher authority if God's not part of the equation, because they even fall under God, which is why they're trying to make God go away. The government is trying to make itself, you know, the ultimate highest authority, which once they do that, they can do anything they want. But here's the other thing too. When you have pervasive sexual deviancy in your culture, that's never worked out well. It always leads to destruction. Okay, so what two people do in the privacy of their bedroom is between them and God. But when they try to shove it into the culture, and we now have let it, we've allowed it because, who am I to say, mentality. When you let this continue to encroach into your culture, then we are set up for fall. And that affects me. That affects my family. That is a national security issue, because no nation has survived it. In fact, no nation has ever survived past the point where we are now. So here's the thing. It's not about what two guys want to do in their bedroom. If that's as far as it went, then that's as far as it would ever go. It's between them and God. But now we've adopted it as a national policy because we don't want to tell other people how they should live, right? So now we accept it. It's in our institutions. It's crept into our churches. And now what I just read to you from justice.gov, they say now the Department of Justice, where does justice come from? God. All right, and the full unwavering support of the President of the United States to advance this, that they're both passionate about this cause. It's not an idea to them. It's a cause. This is their own words. They've made a cause out of advancing something that leads to the destruction of nations over and over throughout history. And we're allowing it because we want to say, well, you know, who am I to say what two other people can do? It's much beyond that now. This is a national security issue. And now we are going to go into bondage. We're going to be handed over to our enemies, our adversaries, because God's going to take away this blessing that he gave to us. And that we've tolerated. There are certain things we shouldn't tolerate. If God doesn't tolerate it, there's the standard right there.
Well, do you see how, John, this is a backlash from the politically correct? You know, the whole being PC. You remember that whole movement that started?
Oh, yeah.
What, 20 years ago about, well, we've got to be politically correct. You see, this is what comes out of being politically correct. No one wants to say anything that's considered offensive, even if it is the truth, because it's not politically correct, and they've brainwashed. They programmed, not brainwashed is probably not the right word. They have programmed a large percentage of the population, in my view, to accept these sort of things because of that.
Okay, but the thing is, you're looking at political correctness as the evil thing. That is the tool that. That's not.
Oh, no, that's just a vehicle they use. That's just a vehicle they use to get to their plan.
Exactly.
Right, I agree
with that. It is. Political correctness is a symptom of the problem. Political correctness isn't the problem.
No. That's what I said. We're just seeing the backlash of the political correctness. That's what we're seeing. I'm not saying that is the evil. That's just you're right. It's a vehicle that they use to get to where they want to be, and I think we're seeing the backlash is what I'm saying, because people are afraid to speak out because of that whole you got to be politically correct. That's been a way of muzzling. That's muzzled good people from standing up for what's right, because you know it's that herd mentality. They don't want other people to think that they're racist or they're prejudiced.
Do it by hijacking our own vocabulary, like justice and equality and fairness or family.
Jason, what say you? You've been kind of quiet.
No, I've just been taking it in, and you're right. They have hijacked. And, you know, you look at – for people who want to say this just is crazy and we're just not – you know, we're pushing our own views. You know, I got to say, go read the Communist Manifesto. Go look at what has been planned out. This is part of the plan. Is, you know, breaking down our moral values and erasing, you know, that backbone we've had of these Christian values that we've had since the very beginning that really gave us the ability, the providence to, at the time, overcome the greatest military empire the world had seen to that date and, you know, create a new nation. You know, they know in order for them to truly win, they've got to get rid of that moral fortitude, and I think that's exactly what they're doing.
And the guns, they don't leave figure out the guns. They have to get rid of the guns.
They got to get rid of that too. But I think
That'll move us to our next point, John. But go ahead. Sorry.
Or let us all have our guns and just turn us all against each other.
Right.
Let us do enough damage on ourselves, and they can come in and clean up what's left.
Well, I think when I say ourselves, I think that the police are going to be a big part of that. I think they're trying to position the police to be sort of the lambs that are led to slaughter. Now, I was very, very delighted to see that the South Carolina incident, if we can shift gears to that shooting, John, I'm sure you're well aware of that, when this guy walked into the church and shot those nine people.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Sad.
You know, and it is sad indeed. And you can see how they jumped on top of that pretty much within hours, blaming the gun. The gun was the problem. But I was encouraged to see that they got together and they rallied and they supported each other. Nobody rioted. Nobody burned anything down. They sort of flipped the middle finger. Exists. They kind of gave the globalists the middle finger.
It was a huge contrast to Baltimore. In this case, you had people that truly were victims saying, you know what? One guy wrote the letter to the kid. I want to let you know that Jesus loves you and I love you and I forgive you. You did a bad thing, but Christ will forgive you if you turn to him. I mean, that's how much more Christian-like can you get? And what a contrast between the attitudes of those people who were truly victimized versus Baltimore, where they just burned their own neighborhood to the ground, and how they're trying to politically capitalize on – I mean, now look at the rave now. It's just like a total war against the Confederate flag. Why? Because, well, the kid had a picture of himself with a Confederate flag in the background. I don't know what they would have done if he had an American flag hanging up in the back. And I could just imagine what they would have done if he had a Don't Tread on Me flag in the background.
We'd already be arrested. You and I and Jason are already be arrested if that would
happen. Banned. That flag is banned from this point forward. It just represents hate. That would have been the narrative. But, more emotional, you know, knee-jerk reactions. They're going after a flag. They're going after guns.
And the flag I mean, you look at the history of that flag, it is not what they're portraying it to be. But again, that doesn't really – the truth doesn't really matter to them. They know people aren't going to really go do the research for the most part and find out that background information. They just know what they're getting in that news blurb generally is going to suffice for the vast majority of people.
Yeah. And then everybody says, we can't have hate. We can't have more shootings. Get rid of that flag.
Yeah, but what's going to be really interesting next?
What's going to be interesting is to find out more about this kid, because we will. Because what you get that the first news bites, you know, the first days afterward, isn't the whole truth. And a lot of times we find out it is the farthest from the truth. In fact, in the last, 20 years, almost every single one of the mass shooting, active shooter incidents, mass shooting incidences were either registered Democrats or left-wing freaks, and half of them were on psychotropic drugs.
Well, we know this kid was definitely on psychotropic drugs. He definitely, I think he was there's news stories coming out now that he was a crisis actor, that he had actually worked as those. And, you know, they did have a drill set up for that time, for that area, specifically for an active shooter drill. So, again, it did have that red flag as well. So, you know, I don't believe every one of these shootings is you know, a false flag perpetrated by the gun grabbers. No. Do I think that there's a chance that some of them are? Absolutely. But there's certainly some red flags starting to be raised on this one.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. We're gonna get to the truth. It's gonna come out. You know what his true background is, what things he was tied to. I mean, look at that couple that down there at Bundy Ranch that went and shot those police officers in that little restaurant there right after Bundy Ranch, and draped the "Don't Tread on Me" flag on these guys, on the police officers after they killed them. You know, it was just, a year and a half before that, they were doing Occupy demonstrations with the left, the radical left. These people were all over the map, dressing up as Batman and Batwoman, and they're just freaks.
And they were kicked out of Bundy Ranch real quick.
Yes, they were.
They didn't have time to stay there long, because they were real good at saying, "No, you guys need to go."
These guys are just a rebellious spirit looking for any excuse to break stuff. That's basically what it came down to. Of course, you know, the Patriots took the heat for it. The Occupy movement didn't take heat for it when they had pictures of them, you know, demonstrating for the Occupy movement.
Right. All right, folks. Well, this is the 30-minute break. We'll be on the home stretch on the other side. We'll be back with John Jacob Schmidt and the home stretch Liberty Brothers radio show. We'll be back on the other side. And welcome back to the Liberty Brothers radio show. We're in the home stretch. We have John Jacob Schmidt of Radio Free Redoubt joining us today. And boy, it's just been incredible conversation. Some days you just have that flow going, and it's just it's one of those days. So, boy, you know, I don't even remember where exactly we were before the break. We were hitting so many topics. Where were we at, guys?
Well, you know, I don't know where we were at, but I know there's one thing I did want to talk to John about. You know, we talked about Jade Helm in the opening there early on, much early on in the interview. Actually, I think before we went to the break. Now, John, I know you have contacts that are probably still in and out of the military for sure. I know out of the military, perhaps even still in. And you may actually have some people that have insights. I suspect you probably do. What do you think here about the Jade Helm? Has your viewpoint on it changed at all since we've talked last? I know that, if I remember correctly, we need to keep an eye on it, but you more or less thought it sounds like a routine sort of training exercise. What do you think? Am I characterizing, first of all, what you originally said correctly? And second of all, has your viewpoint changed at all on that?
No, not on Jade Helm. The Jade Helm hysteria is continuing in full force, and Spot makes me want to just like pull my hair out. Like, for example, everything is Jade Helm now. Every military vehicle is Jade Helm. You know, I get stuff sent to me. I got this guy sent a video. You got to see this. Jade Helm operations now in South Carolina. like, oh, this is interesting. I'll take a look at it. This guy's on a cell phone taking video on the freeway passing a convoy of a bunch of Marines. And they're sitting up there smiling, waving at people going by and everything. And this guy, as he's going along, he's narrating it, which is about 90% is, oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Look at all this. Are we in Iraq? Oh, my gosh. I can't believe this. This is just insane. It just keeps going on. Are we in Occupy? Are we in Iraq? Oh, my gosh. I just stopped it. I couldn't watch any more of it. Jade Helm operations are now in South Carolina because the guy passed a convoy on the highway. Jade Helm is specifically an operation involving mostly special operations, and it is a scenario-based exercise that entails several countries that or several states representing countries. And actually, if you look at it, to me, it looks like the Middle East, Syria, Turkey, Yemen, Saudi Arabia. But anyway, these guys train all the time. See, when I was a government contractor, we trained also. We trained in the cities. Oh my gosh, military training in the cities. Well, we trained with the military in American cities. This is obviously training to round people up or kidnap people or whatever, because we train different agencies and military units, and basically we train them. If you are in a foreign country and things go bad and people are after you, first of all, how do you get away? Secondly, what happens if you don't get away and they get their hands on you? So we'd put them through this training, and it's very realistic training. And this type of training that would just flat freak people out if they got a video of it. But what they don't understand is we weren't training to grab American citizens off the streets. We were training these guys to how to act if they ever found themselves isolated from American or friendly help, and then what to do if they got caught.
But John,
similar training. Go ahead.
Don't we have a lot of facilities we spend a lot of money on that better simulate that type of Middle Eastern environment rather than using a U.S. environment where they're English speaking and whatnot? It just seems that it kind of what gets me is, generally speaking, these drills have been done on military installation bases, and now it seems they're really moving out of that model.
Military operations have always taken place on large scales like this. I've been involved in multiple.
Really?
And we come across citizens, farmers, hunters, whatever, and shoot the bull with them and chit-chat. And, yeah, we're on a training operation. Cool, guys. Cool meeting you. And then we're on our way. It's just this recent. Now, on the other hand, let me say this. Someone preface it with this. Or let me make sure I say this.
Right.
We are dealing with an oppressive regime that has plans. All right, they have plans of doing some evil things, and I'll tell you what: if they could take the restraints off, they would be killing conservative Christian patriots now. If they could get away with
right.
it, I guarantee it. It humming. All right, but. This isn't it. The other thing, too, and I've mentioned this on the show several times, because special operations is my background. I know the special operations. I've got a lot of listeners still in special operations and a lot of all the different alphabet soup agencies and stuff like that. The special operations community is the exact wrong group of people to choose to roll American citizens up and take their guns. Now, and the other thing, like I talked to Jim last time I talked to him, when you see DHF working in concert with NORTHCOM, you've got danger, red flag.
Right.
When you're talking about SOCOM, you cannot duplicate a massive theater on a military base, even the largest of our military bases. And yes, they have mock villages and stuff like that. They can do a lot of their training, and they do. And they will for Jade Helm, too. But when you got to get a group of guys that go down in a helicopter or down, what they couldn't get extracted, and they got to make it 150 miles across the desert. You can't duplicate that on a base. Although they, I suppose they could just go 5 miles back and forth like 38 times and simulate, but it's not the same, especially when you got role players out there that are hunting for them, interacting with them. There's roads, there's ravines, there's, you know, and along the way, there's alternate potential extraction points that they could use or miss and have to move on. And this type of training is not new. It's been going on for a long, long time. I mean, for years, decades, we've been training in multiple states, large theaters, simulating an overseas environment.
Right.
But here's the problem. We can't trust our government anymore. And that's legitimate. So everything that we see that is benign and is not nefarious and evil, we're suspicious of everything. And the government has created that environment. I mean, they're listing former veterans, homeschoolers, people that fly the Gadsden flag as potential domestic homeland terror threats. And we're not talking about the boots. We're not talking about the special forces guys that are on the ground. Those are the wrong guys. Those are the guys that know insurgency and counterinsurgency, and they're just – they'd be picking – you don't want to pick somebody that has a very high probability of telling you no.
Let me interject something here, John. If I hear you right, admittedly, you realize that we are – currently under the thumb of a criminal regime, a criminal government.
A treasonous regime.
Correct. I think that's probably accurately descripted. So what you're saying is it's not that you don't think the government would pull something off at Jade Helm. You're saying that the military wouldn't participate. Because I fully believe the government, if they had willing participants, would round up everybody on the red list and assassinate them in their home. So are you saying that the military won't participate?
No, I'm saying the special forces community, special operations community, would have a very – they are thinkers. They're very intelligent, and they're the least likely – no, they have the highest probability problem child rate when it comes to going against the American people.
Well, I think that's one of our saving graces, John.
That's where the majority of our patriots are. They gravitate toward the special operations community. And we need to stop treating them like they're the enemy, or they'll start treating us like we're the enemy. And now, the conventional military forces, especially the higher educated guys, officers, guys flying drones, they'll pull the trigger on an order without blinking, right? They'll have nightmares about it later, fine, but great, my family's dead, so what good did that do me? So they are indoctrinating this new generation of military. If they had their way, it would be nothing but homosexuals and women in our military, and they're fast-tracking that. They love fast-tracking.
Or men wearing dresses, of course. Don't leave out the men wearing dresses.
Well, hold on now. My grandfather, my family, They wore kilts. Of course, they were in the black.
That's a whole different thing. Then they want to be sent. What they just had a didn't they just have a exercise here where they want to make men more sympathetic to women, so they made them dressed up in dresses and wear high heels and stuff. You don't put soldiers in dresses and high heels and force them to do that, man. What's up with that? That ain't right.
We're not. This isn't America anymore. Only in name. There's no American principle surviving except for with individuals, and they're getting steamrolled by the people that are on board with this cause, as they describe. It's a cause. This is a mission for them.
It's a religion. It's a religion. You look at the earth worship, it's a religion for some of these people. Some of this stuff, they really come right out and say that Gaia is their religion. They're Mother Earth is their religion. They worship the earth. I mean, and this has all been foretold. This isn't anything. Right. This isn't anything. You know, that hasn't been laid out. You know, certainly in scripture.
Well, this new generation is very heavily indoctrinated into worldly ways and making exceptions for all the rules that are supposed to restrain them, namely the Constitution. But they're not driven by a moral standard or by the laws of nature. Nature's God means nothing to these guys anymore. It's all, you know, it's not a good situation. They're going to be using these people, but Jade Helm itself, the specific Jade Helm, Operation Jade Helm, I've been on these kind of operations. This is the largest scale that I've ever seen. But just because it's the biggest military coordinated operation that I've ever seen doesn't mean that they're not going to use special forces for going around and rounding up patriots and taking guns. They're going to use NORTHCOM. They're going to use the 10th Mountain Division. They're going to use 82nd Airborne. They're going to use military police. And it's going to fall, I'll about guarantee it's going to fall under NORTHCOM. Now, that's not to say that these guys couldn't hijack Jade Helm. You know what I'm saying? But as it stands right now, I've been on operations before that the press got a hold of, and the way they reported it and the citizens' reaction, we were all just shaking our heads going, idiots, you're so flipping clueless as to what we're really doing. But you can't say anything because it's classified, right? You can't talk about it. So you just kind of let them just run their mouths and do their thing. And I know guys in the special operations community and guys who are on the inside that have had access to the classified brief up for Jade Helm. And this is pretty much the running narrative right here. Think overseas. Think of a city or think of a country that starts with an I. And that's pretty much enough said. And that's specifically for Jade Helm. All right. But it could it get hijacked? Yeah. Are they going to have a high probability of, let's say, failure to comply or a very lackluster compliance from the special operations community rounding up American citizens? Yeah, wrong group of people. Now, there is a lot of activity going on right now. There, people send me, you know, videos of armored vehicles on rail cars. More Jade Helm activity. Dude, they move our military on rails. It's cheap. It's efficient, and they've done it for decades. Now, the Homeland Security stuff, the militarizing of our police, handing out MRAPs like candy, the indoctrination, like we saw this sheriff's deputy stuck his foot in his mouth in Spokane, Washington, when asked what the MRAPs are for. He says, oh, we got a lot of constitutionalists around here. Oh, my gosh, the fury. That right there is an indicator of the Southern Poverty Law Center indoctrination, how they wiggled their way in to teach, self-proclaimed watchdog groups that are training our law enforcement and parts of our government and military on what to look out for domestic homeland terror threats. So this indoctrination is very concerning. But see, the most dangerous stuff that's out there, like that example right there, has nothing to do with Jade Helm. It's almost like with all the other activity that's going on with Department of Homeland Security, foreign governments. I just got another report, an AMRON operator in Oregon reporting a helicopter on a flatbed 18-wheeler covered with a tarp except for the tail end. It said Royal Air Force on the back of it, British military. So there are some things that are concerning. And I'm not saying, Jade Helm's legitimate, so that means everything is legitimate. I just happen to know guys that are involved on that level, and they're like, dude, this is not a plan to disarm American citizens. And these are patriots who well, we have conversations that it just wouldn't work out for the government if that was their plan to use special operations to.
Do you think they're ever going to be able to? I mean, do you really think they're ever going to be able to? I mean, there's what, 180 million people that have firearms in their homes at least? That's the ones that even reported.
Oh,
at least. How can they? I mean, that is a – if it's a very small percentage of those, it's – so what's 10%? Is 18 million? So 5%, what, 9 million? 9 million motivated gun owners that know how to shoot and hunt that's no small army. Yeah. even if they're not organized or really trained up, that's just a force, man. I don't see how they're going to do it, John. I don't think they have enough people.
It's a rifle behind every blade of grass.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Here's the other thing too. You got to consider. It's taken our military plus militaries from what, 30 or 50 other countries, 12 years in Afghanistan, and we still never routed the Taliban, and we're out of there with lots of casualties, lots of money spent, and there's a reason why Afghanistan's been dubbed the graveyard of nations. Right. But we're talking about a country that we couldn't root out all of the insurgents and all of the fighters, that is the size of that geographically is like you could put, what, 9 Afghanistans in the United States. So it'd be like trying to take on 9 Afghanistans at once with the depleted military that we have. We couldn't even fight. We are so depleted. Our military strength is down, what, 30% or down to 30%? I can't remember now. I just saw it. Sam Culper over at Guerrilla America had.
I think you're right, 30%. But we had to consider this also in what you're talking about, what you're laying out there. It does behoove the military industrial complex not to root out these people and to keep this war going, because it's billions upon billions upon hundreds of billions of dollars in their bank accounts every year as long as there's war. Now, I'm not saying that's happening, but we have to always consider the possibility that some of these conflicts, they don't want to end. I say the same thing about cancer. They don't want to cure cancer because there's a lot of money in it, and a lot of people would be out of work. And they'd have to close down entire wings of hospitals if they came out with any of a cure. But if they came out with like a nationwide cure, take a pill, it's gone. That would put so many people out of work. They don't want that. And I think you have that same mentality with the military industrial complex. They want to perpetuate war. They want to keep conflicts going because that sells bullets, that sells tanks, that sells missiles, that sells planes. You know, what do you think about that, Jason?
No, I absolutely agree. I see that there's definitely an interest in keeping these things going, and that's financial interest. Now, how can they evolve it, move it forward? And we're obviously seeing the transformation from that boogeyman that we need to be kept safe from being, these Middle Eastern jihadists to the American Patriot Movement, the American Conservative, which is very alarming for me.
There's definitely something else that's just as equally alarming, is that we also saw the policy changes because of the political aspects of Afghanistan. Our men, their hands were – it was atrocious how they tied the hands.
Yeah, they couldn't do their job.
Our generals all the way down to the lowest level that was frustrated them to no end. And I assure you, when they finally – do decide to drop the hammer on American citizens, they will not be holding back. They will not be hamstringing. It's going to be a you win at all costs, no matter what. You're going to unleash all guns on the American people. So it will be different in that respect. They've got a lot more territory to cover. You also have the sentimental aspects, the psychological aspects of soldiers turning on their own people. I really think that is going to – I think a very realistic scenario would be like in when the almond tree blossoms, which is written by David Aikman, the next American Civil War. I think that you'll see a division in the military. I think you'll see a division geographically in our country. His story did not take into account, you know, Aslan or the, you know, the newly emerging Latino state in the Southwest United States. That's going to be that's going to just be a matter of, you know, fact. But I think that's a really good model. You know, you're going to see our military divide. You're going to see pretty soon, you know, push is going to come to shove and everything's going to break loose. You're going to see all kinds of stuff happen that you didn't anticipate.
Well, John, things go by so fast always when you're on, man. I could, you know, we could talk about things for another hour or two, but we're at the end here of the broadcast. Why don't you, we got about a minute or two. Why don't you go ahead and go back over your websites when you're broadcasting? Is anything that you want to put out? Do you have any upcoming events? Anything going on with Amron or
yes,
anything
we do.
Like that? Go right ahead. You have the floor. Go ahead.
We just got done with a massive exercise called Operation Premonition. It was a disaster crisis relation community. No, hold on. Let me stop. I got to let my brain catch up with my mouth. It was a communications exercise, and that's actually the prequel to the August 6th, 7th, and 8th T-Rex 2015, which is a three-day grid-down disaster preparedness exercise where each family and individual church groups, prepper groups, can implement their own plan based on a scenario. And we're also going to be doing a lot of communications during that time. So Amron.com to learn more, AMRRON.com.
All right, folks. So that is the Liberty Brothers show for today, starting or ending a little earlier than normal, but the music's on. Thanks so much, John Jacob Schmidt of Radio Free Redoubt. Always great having him on. He's been on more times than I can count, but the conversation's always so interesting. Thanks, John. We appreciate it, and we'll be back tomorrow, folks.